tend to understand that it's not a promise that you're going to be here every Sunday, you know, Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. You begin to realize that it's just a blessing to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Every time the Lord allows us to be well enough to get up and to get out and to be here, it's a blessing. Amen. I don't care if there's one or two people here or if there's 200 or 300. It doesn't matter. Every time you get into the house of the Lord, amen, it's a blessing. Amen. Because this house is blessed. Amen. I even believe this, our grounds around the house are blessed. Amen. So every time those kids walk on these grounds and come through these doors, amen, it's a blessing to them as well. No matter if they know anything about God yet or not. Amen. So it's just a blessing. I enjoyed everyone's testimony. Amen. It is nice to just have some things going on. Amen. Have some things going on in the church. It brings life. Brings life to the congregation. It brings life to the building. Amen. And I know we have our issues when it comes to the building. And, don't have a whole lot of money, but got a whole lot of problems. Amen? Can anybody relate? Well, the same thing goes here. But just like in our own lives, we just depend on God. We trust God, we follow Him, and try to make wise choices and sound decisions, and just know that He doesn't want us to fail. Amen? He wants us to be able to have doors open to bless people, because that's what He brought us here for. So we just have to continue to depend on that and continue to be good stewards over what He has entrusted us with. Amen? I want to... The Sunday before last was the last time I spoke, and it was one of those things where I think I got halfway through my message, and I just got carried away, and I never did finish. So I just wanted to at least finish because I had some, I put some time into it. I had some good stuff on the back end, too, that I wanted to share with you that I never got to. So the message was based on Galatians, the third chapter. Galatians chapter 3, and I want to say before I forget, I witnessed something that was funny during praise service. I don't know if y'all caught it, but Fred yelled at Sister Paulette with his guitar. Amen. I heard that. Paulette was trying to go to testimony, so he's going, he started playing the song you were supposed to be going into a lot louder, and he turned the... I said, man, Fred's playing loud. But I said, oh, I see what he's trying. He's trying to help Sister Paulette know that she's going in the wrong direction. I said, yeah. I thought that was pretty funny. Amen. Amen. Galatians 3, 1 through 6. It says, "You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. I would like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by believing what you heard?" That's a question. He follows it up with another question. "Are you so foolish? After beginning by means of the Spirit, are you now trying to finish by means of the flesh?" It's another question. There's a whole lot of questions in these first six verses. Have you experienced so much in vain if it really was in vain? So again, I ask you, does God give you his spirit and work miracles among you by the works of the law or by your believing what you heard? So also Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Amen? The first six verses of Galatians, the third chapter. And it's basically, you know, making the contrast between faith or works. Amen? And what we wanted to try to get across to you in using these scriptures here and reminding us is that when we first got saved, all of us, when we first got saved, let me ask you a question. When you first accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you accepted that gift. Was it because of your works or because you believed that Jesus died for you? Amen? I'll answer mine. It was because I believed Jesus died for me. Amen? Because, and I was one of those ones that when I was first being invited to come to church, I didn't accept the invitation when I was getting the invite. They kept inviting me, but I didn't accept the invitation. One, because, I just didn't know what I was getting into. And two, because I felt that I wasn't ready. Amen? From what I observed from the people that were inviting me to church, I observed a people that were very serious about, you know, serving God and doing the right things and doing all the right things. Amen. My impression, or I don't know, but that's what I was seeing and feeling. So I was saying, you know, yeah, I'm gonna come, but I'm not ready yet. And I was one of those people that said, I got to get myself together first. I know me right now, and I know, based on what I see you guys doing, I'm not there. I'm not even anywhere close to there. Amen? So I need to get rid of some of the things in my life, and I need to get myself straightened out. And then when I do that, when I get it all together and get ready, then I'm going to come, and I'm going to be ready to do what you, because I like what I see. Amen? But like everyone else that feels that way, I found out that it's like a baby trying to pick up a beach ball. You know, they just keep kicking it farther away. You know, because I realized that as hard as I tried, as much as I wanted to, as agonizing as it was to try to get myself together, I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it by myself. I realized that. So finally, you know, thank God, and this is why I always say, don't feel like you're bothering people when you invite them to church. Amen? Because thankfully for me, these people kept inviting me. I mean, I can't tell you how many times they invited me and I didn't come. And they could have said, you know what, you know, forget him. I'm not bothering him no more. We've invited him, he doesn't come. They could have took that, but no. Every time, hey, I look forward to seeing you in church. You know, church is this time next Sunday. You know, just lovingly just kept inviting me. And finally, after I was frustrated enough to realize that I can't get this thing together, but at the same time, I knew I need help. Amen? And I just said, you know what? I'm going to go. I'm going to go, and I don't know what's going to happen, and I'll probably be an outcast or whatever the case may be, but I'm just going to go to church. Amen? And again, you got to understand, for me, It was a whole new experience. You know, I'm used to doing this, you know. You know, sit, kneel, stand. That's what I'm used to. 45 minutes, we're out. Amen? That's what I'm used to. That's all I knew. Amen? So I'm going into what they call a holiness church, right? And it's like a party in there, and I'm like, whoa, wait a second. You know, I mean, the music's loud. I mean, the music was loud. People are dancing. Some people are hollering and all, and I'm like, whoa. Blew my mind. You know what I mean? Some of it was a little scary, to be honest with you. But then I heard the message. And, man, I guess I was ready. Because at the end of that message, see, I always believed in God. I always, you know, as a Catholic, they hammer that into you. There is a God. There is, you know, they do all the right principles when it comes to, I mean, I always believed that. Never doubted it. But I never knew that I could have a personal relationship with that God. And that's what I needed more than ever. Amen? Because the only thing I knew to that point was, you know, every so often, I don't even know how, you go to confession. Amen? And again, you know, a lot of these things, they're not bad. It's like Fred says about the law. There's nothing wrong with the law. The law is great. Amen? It's good for you. If you can keep it, it'll bless your life. Amen? There's nothing wrong with it. And just like this, there's nothing wrong with confession. Amen? It's good to confess your sins one to another. Amen? But at that point, the only thing I knew was, you know, confessing my sins to a priest on the other side of the box. Amen? And then it's like, okay, go say these prayers and sin no more. But what I didn't realize was not only could I confess my sins to Fred or Paulette or anybody, but I could talk to God for myself. Amen? I didn't realize I had that opportunity. I didn't realize I could have a relationship, a personal relationship with God. Someone that I could, you know, I could talk to all day long, all throughout the day. I didn't have to, you know, if I call Paulette and she's not home, you know, I don't have to wait. I can talk to God all throughout the day. Lord, help me, Lord. Lord, I thank you. Lord, you're so good to me, Lord. Lord, I'm having a tough day. Man, things are seeming tough today, Lord, but I thank you. I could talk to him all day long. Amen, personally. Amen. What a blessing. Amen. So I realized that Jesus saved me. Amen. Not my works, because I couldn't do it myself. And then I realized that, you know, if you could work it out yourself, then you don't need Jesus. Amen. If you could get it together on your own, if you can get all the bad out of your life and replace it with good, if you can do all that on your own, you don't need Jesus. Go ahead and do you. Amen? But I found out, as hard as I tried, as much as I wanted to, as much as I desired to do right, I kept running into the same wall over and over and over again until I just finally said, I give up. And that's what God wants. God wants, great, you give up? Now we can do something. Amen? Because I've been waiting for you to give up. I've been waiting for you to surrender. Amen? Sometimes he's just waiting for us to let it go. Amen. We're trying so hard to make it work, and we're putting in, and we're doing it with good intentions, and we mean well, and we say we're doing it in the name of Jesus, but really what God wants us to do is just take your hands off and let it go. Let it go. Let me show you what I can do for you. Amen. God wants us to be totally like a child, to be totally dependent on Him. Amen. You remember when you, if you had kids or, you know, when they were little, they totally depended on you. They didn't have no other choice. You were all they had. Amen. That's how God wants us to be with Him. Totally dependent on Him. Thank you, Jesus. So Paul's, I believe it's Paul that's asking them these questions, and he's frustrated. He's frustrated. He says, are you foolish? Do you really? He's talking about, you know, when you started out, was it because of your works or was it because of your faith? Because now you're making it about your works. And what he's saying to them is how you start out is how you must finish. Amen? You don't start out with Jesus and asking him to come into your life and then start going back to your works. No, the more you spend time on the Lord's side, and we talked about that when we accept Jesus Christ in our life and the Spirit of God is alive within us, what tends to happen after time is the Spirit, He will continue to show you that it's better for you to rely on God than it is for you to try to do it yourself. Amen. Amen? Now, some of us are more stubborn than others. Amen? Some of us, it takes us a little while to pass that test. Amen? But let me let you in on something. You ain't going no further until you pass it. It's like that test in school. You know, you can fail it as many times as you want. You're going to have to take it again. Sooner or later, you're going to have to pass that test. Amen? But we learn that. We learn that in our walk. Where I left off, I wanted to say that, you know, the way that God starts with you is the way you finish with Him. You start with God through His grace and your faith, and that is the way you finish. Amen? The way that you avoid the shackles of legalism and continue to breathe the fresh air of liberty that the gospel brings, you should always do these three things. And that's where I left off last time, and I want to emphasize that the gospel is freeing. It's liberating. I just see so many Christians struggling with trying to do the gospel, if you will. Amen? And it's sad because we shouldn't be in bondage living for the Lord, especially when He gave all that He had for us to be free. Amen? You know the story. You know what He did. You know what He went through on that cross. You know what they did to Him. You've seen it. You know it. He did all that so that we could be free. Not in bondage, free. So the three things. First, I talked about this. We look to the Son. Amen? It's important that we look to Jesus in all the things we got going on. Again, I refer to my go-to scripture over there. You know, in all your ways, acknowledge Him. And He shall direct your path. Make Him a part of your business. Amen? Include Him in everything you're trying to do. Amen. Not only for the church, but in your own life, in your personal life. Include him in everything you're trying to do. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. He says to us, look to me from where your help comes from. I am your help. Amen? And then he even tells us, look, cast all your cares on me because I careth for you. So the most important thing is that we acknowledge him in all our ways so that he can direct our path. And in the meantime, he knows that life is hard. We're going to go through some troubles. We're going to go through some trials and tribulations. He says, in the meantime, while you're looking to me, acknowledging me, when those things come, cast them on me because you're not capable of carrying them. Again, surrender, let it go. Amen? And then, even in the midst of all that, he can direct your path. Isn't it beautiful? Not easy, but it's beautiful. Amen? But if we remind ourselves of that over and over again and start to, you know, try him. You know, when you're trying to, you know, if you include him, you say, Lord, you said, Lord. He doesn't mind when you remind him of what he said. Amen? He don't mind that at all. Matter of fact, he likes when you remind him. You said, Lord, that if I acknowledged you in all my ways, that you would direct my path. This is what I have before me. This is what I believe I'm supposed to be doing. Lord, I need you to clear the way for me. I need you to show me what I need to do. And I know, based on your scripture, what you told me, that you would direct my path. Try him. Try him in something little and see, won't it work? And then you'll try him again and you'll say, wow. Amen? He is faithful. He is faithful. So the first thing is we look to the Son. The second thing is we live in the Spirit. Amen? We know that the Bible tells us that to walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. Amen? That's one of those easier said than done things. Amen? Sounds great. Sounds very simple. I got two choices. Take this one. Amen? I don't have like 10 choices in front of me. It's just two. Walk after the Spirit, not after the flesh. Paul cuts right to the chase and asks the key question to these Galatians needed to answer clearly and concisely. He says, I would like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by believing what you heard? Paul has only one question, and he knows that once they answer this question truthfully, they will in effect have solved their own problem. Amen? Doesn't that really bug you when somebody asks you a question and it causes you to solve your own problem? Amen? Amen. Because you say, I should have thought of that myself, probably. Then he gives the classic definition of what it is to be a Christian. He says, to be a Christian means that you have received the Spirit of God, or when you have received the Spirit of God, you become a Christian. But here's the dilemma. The Spirit of God never bypasses the Son of God. The only way the Spirit of God will come into you is through the cross of Jesus. Amen? Our God is a God of order. Amen? It is not enough to just hear the gospel with your ears. It is not enough just to believe the gospel in your head. You must receive the gospel into your heart. When you believe in the Son of God, you receive the Spirit of God, and he is the one that makes you different. He is the one that changes your life. Because what do we always say? Once you receive the Spirit of God, you will no longer sin comfortably. He immediately changes your life. The question is not when they received or what they received, but how they received, and it wasn't by observing the law, keeping the rules and regulations, or observing the restrictions. It was by simply believing the gospel that they heard. Amen? And that's the other thing that makes God such a, there's so many things, but makes him such a great God, is because what we make so complicated, he meant it to be simple. We complicate things. It's been simple from the beginning. Amen? He didn't want it to be complicated. He wanted it to be so whosoever will can receive what I have done for them. Amen? Thank you, Jesus. The only reason why this letter is being written is because there had been a spiritual change in their life. Change had been brought about when they believed on the Son of God and they received the Spirit of God. He is asking them to go back to that experience when that happened. Think back when this happened to you, when you first received Christ in your life. Amen? It happened, again, I was just referring to it, but it happened for me when I heard the gospel preached and I understood that I can have a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ. I believed that he was who he said he was and did what he said he did. And when I humbly asked him to save me and to forgive me, I didn't realize it at the time, but his Holy Spirit came alive inside of me and I knew something had happened to me. It's that old song. I know I've been changed, right? That's what happened. I didn't know how, I didn't know what it was, I just knew something was different, right? A change had happened in my life. I knew I was different, I knew I would never be the same. I could no longer sin comfortably. It didn't happen while I was being baptized. It didn't happen while I was doing a good deed. It didn't happen while I was putting money in the basket at church. Although all those things are good, just like the law, it happened simply by hearing and believing and receiving the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? You are going to buy into one of two different ways to get to God and to be accepted by God. The way of the law and the legalists, which is achieve and you will receive, or the way of grace and the gospel, which is believe and you will receive. You can't earn the Holy Spirit. You can't buy the Holy Spirit, borrow, beg, or steal the Holy Spirit. You only receive the converting Spirit of God when you believe in the crucified Son of God. And that is exactly what happened to these Galatians. The gospel was preached. They heard it, believed it, received it. Amen. They received the Spirit, and without baptism, without circumcision, no keeping of the commandments, no works, they received God's Spirit and God's acceptance. And Paul is reminding them how they started out, because they've strayed. Amen? That is why Paul is upset and asks them, are you so foolish? Amen? After beginning by the means of the Spirit, are you now trying to finish by means of the flesh? Are you now bringing it back to your works when you know that it wasn't your works that saved you in the first place? You know, why? And that's why, you know, there's a popular phrase nowadays, in whether it's self-help or diets or anything like that, progress, not perfection. Amen? You hear that often now? And that's why I always say to people, you know, this is a liberating gospel, okay? Now, there's going to be times when you wish, you know, you're not happy, if you will, with where you are. Amen? You're not happy with some of the things about yourself. You want to change some things, and you say to yourself, you know, I've been going to church, I've been listening to the word, I've been doing all the things, and I'm just not happy with where I am. I just feel like I should be farther down the road. Well, you got to tell yourself, I may not be where I want to be, but I certainly ain't where I used to be. Amen? See, instead of looking to see how far you've got to go, look back and see how far you've come. Amen? That will give you the encouragement to just prod on, to just keep going. Amen? Just keep going. We don't want to get stuck. We don't want to turn around and go back, right? We just want to keep moving forward. Keep it moving. Amen? If you mess up, we know what to do. Ask for forgiveness, get up, dust yourselves off, and keep running the race. Learn lessons along the way. Amen? If you're open to learning lessons along the way, chances are you won't repeat the mistakes. Amen? But you got to learn lessons along the way. You got to remember, nope, I did that last time, and that's where it got me. This time, I'm going to do it God's way. Amen? A perfectionist is ethical, a perfectionist is dedicated, and a perfectionist is reliable. They are motivated by a desire to live the right way, improve the world, and avoid fault and blame. I wonder whether or not I've done enough for God. How my ministry is going to be judged. Could I have done more, reached more, achieved more? I want to be good. I want to do good, and I want people to know or to think I am good. Amen? I am like the guy who came home from the grocery store with one carton of eggs, two sacks of flour, three boxes of cake mix, four sacks of sugar, and five cans of cake frosting. And the wife looked at the sack of groceries and said, I knew I never should have numbered that list. Amen. Amen. I'll let that sink in for a minute. Amen. But it's funny. I tell them that when I'm doing the games, you know, there's a lot of reads that I have to read in between innings and stuff. And I tell them all the time, look, I read them like, I mean, make sure you write them, because I read them just like I see them. You know what I mean? And sometimes you're doing it so fast, you don't have a lot of time. So the team from Gwinnett recently changed their name to Stripers, right? They're the Gwinnett Stripers. They're playing them the next weekend. I got to read in between an inning to, you know, to let the crowd know that, hey, you want to come next weekend? We're playing against Gwinnett, right? So I'm reading the thing, and I'm saying, hey, fans, you want to make sure you're with us next Friday, Saturday, and Sunday as the Mets take on the Gwinnett Strippers. The Gwinnett Strippers will be in town Thursday, Friday, because whoever wrote the read, that's how they spelled, they misspelled Stripers. Amen? And I didn't have time to look through it. I probably should have proofread it first, but, you know, I'm in between an inning, and everyone looked at me and said, did you just say Gwinnett Strippers? And I said, matter of fact, I think I did say, you know. So, you know, I'm that guy. Tell me exactly what you want me to do. Exactly what, because then I'll see it and I'll do it. Amen? But if you give a lot of leeway, we're going to have some trouble. Because then I start looking around and I start wondering, should I have done this next? And then it's, paralysis by analysis. I'm in one of those modes and ain't nothing going to get done. Amen? And the third and final thing is we look to the scripture. In a stroke of genius, Paul wants to send a message not just to the Galatians, but to the what they call the Judaizers. These people who are trying to add to Jesus. These people who were saying Jesus is not enough and that God's grace and our faith is not enough for God to accept us. These people thought we have to perform. We have to live up to a certain standard. We've got to keep the rules and the regulations and not defy the restrictions. He puts the nail in that coffin or that kind of legalistic thinking by referring to the God Father of all Jews, the patriarch of the Jewish family, Abraham. In that sixth verse, he says, "So also Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness." Paul does something you probably wouldn't notice or think about, but it is one of the most important things he ever did in his ministry. In the first five verses, he is referring the Galatians back to their experience, but now he takes them back to the scripture. This is something we need to hear more than ever now. Amen. In the culture that we're living in, you never judge scripture by your experience. Amen. You never judge scripture by your experience. You judge your experience by scripture. Make sure we get it right. Amen. What is right is not what you think is right or feel is right. It is what God says is right. The litmus test of truth is not our emotion, it is God's word. It all goes back to the first book of the Bible, to when Abraham started with God and God started with Abraham. The story is very simple. Purely out of God's grace, not because of anything Abraham had done, God chooses Abraham and he makes a promise to Abraham that if Abraham would follow him and obey him, he would make of him a great nation and be a blessing to the entire world. The nation was Israel and the blessing was Jesus. Abraham simply believed God, took God at his word, and followed God for the rest of his life. At that moment, Abraham was justified. God credited his account with perfect righteousness. In other words, God fully and finally accepted Abraham. Amen? In effect, Paul was saying to these Judaizers, to these legalists, to these people who were more concerned about religion and rule-keeping than they were about a relationship, to take note that God accepted Abraham and he had not been circumcised. And he had not kept the law. Because at that time, the law hadn't even been given. So how did God start with Abraham? The same way he started with me and you. Grace. Amen? How did Abraham start with God? The same way me and you started with God. By faith. How did God end with Abraham? By grace. And how did Abraham end with God? By faith. Abraham was more like these Gentile Galatians in whom had never even heard of Abraham than he was like these Jewish people who idolized Abraham. Amen? So how we start out is how we must finish. We don't change the game plan in the middle of the game. Amen? If any adjustments need to be made, God will make them. He's the coach. Amen? The players don't make the adjustments, the coach does. We just run the race. Amen? All the while looking to God, acknowledging Him in all our ways, trusting Him with all our heart. Amen? All of it. Surrendering. Hands up, Lord, you're in charge. Let go and let Him lead you. And watch how He will direct your path. Amen? And you'll learn beautiful lessons along the way. Some will be humbling. Amen? When you're going through them, you'll think, this is the worst thing I've ever been through. Amen? But God will pick you up and move you along, and you will be better for it. Amen? But how we start with God is grace in faith. And that's how we must end with God. Because the big question you have to answer is this. What is more important to you? what Jesus has done for you or what you have done for God? Because we love to talk about what we've done for God, right? Amen. I've done this, I've done that, I've given this, I've given that. We want everyone to know what we've done for God. It pales in comparison to what God has done for us. Amen. Amen. God wants you to start strong and finish well. God started with you by grace. You started with him by faith. God will finish with you by grace, and you will finish with him by faith. Then you will start strong and finish well. Amen? Because how many know he's got a place prepared for all of us? Amen. It's got your name on it. It's already there waiting for you. Amen. He's got a place prepared for you. In the end, believe it or not, with everything you're going through right now, you win. The script has already been written. Amen? We just got to keep trudging along. We got to keep running the race, acknowledging him, do what we can along the way. Amen? Do what we can. Help others as much as you can along the way, understanding that you need help yourself. Amen? If we can all just keep running the race and pulling each other along, we'll all get there and have a good time in the end. Amen? We won't have to worry about no bills for the building. We won't have to worry about fixing this and fixing that. We won't have to worry about the pains in our bodies. We won't have to worry about the heartaches in our heart and the tears that we've cried. We can just know that we can get there and he can say, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." Amen? Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we thank you for this day, Lord, and for your many blessings, for the multitude of your tender mercies. We pray, Lord, that we would remember something that we've heard today that we can actually walk out the doors and apply to our own lives. Lord, you know us better than we know ourselves. You know exactly what we need. Lord, bless our hearts and minds even now, Lord. Give us peace, give us joy, all the things that are inside of us, Lord. Help us to allow them to spring eternally, Lord. And Lord, we just give you all the glory and all the praise and all the honor because you alone are worthy. You alone are perfect. You're the only one that's perfect. And Lord, we ask you to bless every home that's represented here, every family, every extended family, Lord. Bless them in the name of Jesus, our church family, Lord, those that are here and those that are not here. Lord, we just ask you to continue to bless these children that come in and out of these doors. And Lord, make a change in their hearts and make a change in their minds, Lord. Lord, help them to get to the point where they're asking questions like, "What must I do to be saved?" And Lord, help us to help others. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we pray. Thank God. Amen. God is great and greatly to be praised. I love you, and there ain't nothing you could do about it. Amen. Thank you.